Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 120. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.6.39. The supreme original personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, expanding his plenary portion as Mahavishnu, the first incarnation, creates this manifested cosmos, but he is unborn. The creation, however, takes place in him, and the material substance and manifestations are all himself. He maintains them for some time and absorbs them into himself again. Footnote 69, Srila Prabhupada comments, the creation is non-different from the Lord, and still he is not in the creation. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 9.4 as follows. Mayatatam idam sarvam jagat avyaktina murtina. Avyakta murtina. Matstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshvavastitaha. The impersonal conception of the absolute truth is also a form of the Lord called avyakta murti. Murti means form, but because his impersonal feature is inexplicable to our limited senses, he is the avyaktina murti form. In that inexplicable form of the Lord, the whole creation is resting. Or in other words, the whole creation is the Lord himself. And the creation is also non-different from him. But simultaneously, he is the original personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, is aloof from the created manifestation. The impersonalist gives stress to the impersonal form or feature of the Lord and does not believe in the original personality of the Lord. But the Vaishnavas accept the original form of the Lord, of whom the impersonal form is merely one of the features. Right? So even the impersonal has, it's the form of impersonality. Right? Because it's taken by the Mayavad, the impersonal means nothingness. So we have to remember it's actually Buddhism. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a form. It's just inexplicable. You can't define it. You can't, you know, it's not understandable to the material, intelligence. But it's still a form. And so then it's one of the features of Krishna. So how someone has a form and at the same time is impersonal, that's Krishna. It's inexplainable. Right? So. Yeah. So, because the point is they're saying that he can't be part of the creation, the impersonal can't be part of the creation. We're pointing out how he is part of the creation.
Right.
Yes.
Sometimes we're saying that the Mayavadis, they say that like Brahman is without qualities, and then they say that it's eternal and vast. And
yeah, which are qualities.
Which are qualities. We use that as an argument against their philosophy.
Yeah, it's one of the things.
So would they use this as an argument against ours, that Krishna has a form and is formless at the same time, but that's Krishna, you know, there's a faulty logic?
The point is that the difficulty comes is that they're trying to define logic according to the mundane.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now if we're talking about the Supreme being transcendental and beyond the mundane, that means with mundane intelligence you can't understand it. So how will we know? We'll only know from Shastra. So Shastra mentions these various aspects. And they accept Shastra. That's why they're not Buddhists. And so then based on that. So the in all these arguments, then they'll always try to bring it down to the secondary, because then they feel they have something to talk about. But when you take it up to the primary, they have nothing to say. So they always try to avoid that primary discussion. You know, anything, even political, economic, any of these kind of things. Anything that's an issue or something that you're attached to, you'll always try to argue it on the detail, not on the principle. Because in the principle, it's very obvious it's not like that. Right? Sutra 2243, Vedanta's claim. There is a male who gives mercy to Shakti. By his mercy, Shakti creates. Na cha kartun karanam. Na cha and kartun of the agent karanam, sense organ. So this is their speaking. Yeah?
This is
not valid since the Purusha has no senses. Sutta Prakashika. Herein the opponents raise their objection as follows. Sri Govindabhasa. Purvapaksha, if you say that the Purusha gives mercy to Shakti, he cannot give mercy because he does not have senses and body suitable for creating the universe. So that's why this whole discussion is he does have a form. And he does, and he can pervade everything and still have a form. And if you say that he does have senses in the body, he would be subject to karma. That's their immediate thing. If you say this, then it has to be that. Why having a body has to be according to karma? He can have a transcendental form, but they're not accepting that principle. Okay? They just make their own terms, and then they argue on their terms. So, you know. Footnote 70. Earlier in Vedanta Sutra 2.131, Vikaranatvan Netichen Na Uptam, the Sutrakar proved that 1. The Lord's senses are not limited to one functionality, but can perform the task of the other senses with any other senses than that. 2. His senses are non-material. Oh, I see. Any other senses. And that, okay. The Lord, who is the possessor of innumerable Shaktis, is all-pervading, along with his senses, and hence is the Creator. This is the verdict of Scripture. So, he's all-pervading along with the senses. So, the senses are also all-pervading. Right? So, Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87-28. Though you have no material senses, you are the self-effulgent sustainer of everyone's sensory powers. The demigods and material nature herself offer you tribute, while also enjoying the tribute offered to them by their worshippers, just as subordinate rulers of various districts in a kingdom offer tribute to their lord, the ultimate proprietor of the land, while also enjoying the tribute paid to them by their own subjects. In this way, the universal creators faithfully execute their assigned services out of fear of you. Footnote 71. BT Purport expounds that the Lord's senses are a manifestation of his spiritual nature. An intelligent living being should acknowledge the sovereignty of the Lord and willingly engage in devotional service to him, such is the consensus of the personified Vedas. But Lord Narayana, while hearing these prayers, may have reasonably asked, since I also have a bodily form with sense organs and limbs, am I not just another doer and enjoyer? Especially since as the super soul in every being's heart, I supervise countless organs and limbs. How am I not implicated in the sum total of everyone's sense gratification? No, the assembled Shrutis here rejoin. You have no material senses, yet you are the absolute controller of all. As expressed in the Svetasutra Upanishad 3.18, Apani Pado Javano Grahita. He has no feet or hands, yet he is the swiftest runner and can grasp anything. Though without eyes or ears, he sees and hears. Nobody knows him, yet he is the knower and the object of knowledge. Sages describe him as the supreme original personality of Godhead. The hands, feet, eyes, and ears of the Supreme Person are not like that of an ordinary conditioned soul, which are derived from false ego, a material substance. Rather, the Lord's transcendental beauty features beautiful features are direct manifestations of his internal nature. Thus, unlike the soul and body of conditioned living beings, the Lord and his bodily form are identical in all respects. Moreover, his lotus hands, lotus feet, lotus eyes, and other limbs are not restricted in their functions. Sri Brahma, the Lord's first creature, glorifies him on this account. Angani yasya sakalen duryavriti manti. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, whose transcendental form is full of bliss, truth, and substantiality. Yeah, another. Of eternity, substantiality. Because the Mayavadis are taking that the unlimited is unsubstantial. There's actually the basis, it's substantiality, because everything that has substance is based on it. Right? And because he's expanding who has substance, everything else has substance. Right? And thus emanates the most dazzling splendor. Each of the limbs of that transcendental figure possesses in itself the self full-fledged functions of all the organs, and he externally sees, maintains, and manifests the infinite universe as both spiritual and material. Brahma Samhita 5.32. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti gives an alternative explanation of the phrase Akila Shakti Dhara. The power that the Supreme Lord maintains within himself is Akila, free from the limitations of all that is Kila, or inferior and insignificant. He energizes the living being's senses, as described in by the Keno Upanishad 1.2. Shrotasya srotram manaso mano yad vacho ha vacham. He is the ear's ear, the mind's mind, and the voice's capacity of speech. And the Sweta Surtara Upanishad 6.8 declares, Nachasya karyam karanam na no cha vidyate. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 13.65 purport. He has no material work to perform, nor any material senses with which to perform it. No one can be found who is equal or greater than him. From the Vedas we hear how that Supreme Lord possesses multifarious energies, the potencies of knowledge, strength, and action, each of which acts autonomously. Srila Sridhar Swami prays, Anindropi yo deva sarva karaka shakti dirik sarva jnana. No, sarva gya sarva karta cha sarva sevyam namami tam. The Supreme Lord has no material senses, yet he controls every living entity's sensory functions. He is the knower of everything, the ultimate performer of all action, and everyone's proper object of devotional service. I offer my obeisances unto him. Right, that's all this there. Okay. Right, so they'll say these things, but the Shastra doesn't agree with that. Right. Mm-hmm. See, is that they'll try to argue, you know, that this is not logical, but the point is this, no, it's based on Shastra. We have to know this beyond. We have to understand that without Shastra, we can't know what's beyond the senses. Mm-hmm. Like that. It's not possible. So it's this idea that, no, through my senses I can know everything is impossible. So that itself is illogical. So why would they then feel that they have a strength of argument to base on such an illogical statement? Right?
Okay. You can't say something is illogical and then at the same time adhere to something that is
illogical. Yeah. But the point is even you say it's not logical, but who said it has to be logical? Because logical is mundane.
Yes.
Right? It just matches your mundane intelligence. But Krishna's intelligence is beyond the mundane. Right, the material intelligence works because of his intelligence. Sutra 2244, Purvapaksha. But the Lord is endowed with qualities like eternal knowledge and will. So now this is us.
No, this is they.
They is still them. But the Lord is endowed with qualities like eternal knowledge and will. Vigyanadi bhave va tad aprati shedaha. Vijnana, knowledge, adi, and the rest, bhava, bhave, of the nature of, va, or, tat, that, apratishedaha, non-contradiction. There is no objection if you say the Lord is endowed with knowledge and other qualities.
And this is we. This is we. The sutra is we. For the Purvapaksha, this is the answer that they are giving to the sutra. Same like the previous sutra we had, the Vedanta is clear. And then they opposed us. So that was their sutra. And this is our sutra. That's how it goes.
Okay. Shruti Prakashika. The emphasis here is put on Brahman as the creator, equipped with qualities as Sat, Chit, and Ananda. Govindabhasya, Siddhanta. If you say that the Purusha has eternal knowledge and will, we have no objection since that is included in our proposal of Brahman. We accept that the Purusha with eternal qualities is the creator of the universe. Bhagavatam verse reference. So anything that works within what their context they're doing is always easier because they accept their own. And then we use that to argue against themselves. You know, Bhagavatam verse reference, 5.3.13. The illusory energy of the Lord cannot take precedence, being ashamed of her position. But those who are bewildered by her always talk nonsense, being absorbed in thoughts of, it is I and it is mine. Footnote 72. Srila Prabhupada explains that Maya can bewilder the conditioned jiva, but not the pure devotees. The invincibly powerful deluding energy of the personality of Godhead, or the third energy representing nescience, can bewilder the entire world of animation. But still, she is not strong enough to be able to stand in front of the Supreme Lord. Nescience is behind the personality of Godhead, where she is powerful enough to mislead the living entities. And the primary symptom of bewildered persons is that they talk nonsense. Nonsensical talks are not supported by the principles of Vedic literatures. And first grade nonsense talk is, it is I, it is mine. Right? So first grade nonsense. Yes. A godless civilization is exclusively conducted by false ideas, and such persons without any factual realization of God accept a false God or falsely declare themselves to be God to mislead persons who are already bewildered by the deluding energy. Those who are before the Lord, however, and who surrender unto Him, cannot be influenced by the deluding energy, right? Because they're before the Lord, while the others are behind. Right? Therefore, they are free from the concession of, it is I, it is mine. And therefore, they do not accept the false God, or pose themselves as equal to the Supreme Lord. Identification of the bewildered person is distinctly given in this verse, right? Because it's always going to be the I and mine aspect. Because that's the whole concept, is that the secondary aspect, we're not seeing it connecting to Krishna, it's mine. Right? And I can enjoy it.
Yes. Right? Right. So Maharaj, there is only devotee and conditioned soul.
Yes.
And conditioned soul is under Maya.
Yes. Yeah, so there's the nature of the living jiva. Then there are those who are conditioned, those who are liberated. Right? So the nature of the conditioned soul is transcendental. But when they come into the purview of conditioning, then they don't act on that platform. They identify with the body. So they're conditioned.
That means all the 6 philosophies are conditioned.
All are conditioned. Everything other than Vaishnavan is conditioned. And it may have hierarchies or this, or something's more logical here, there, or maybe they have their different applications, but they're all for conditioned souls. They're not for Vaishnavas. Because whatever, they have to be based on the actual, how you say, knowledge coming from the Lord. Just that they're taking it and using it in their own way. Just like Let's say, what's his name? He came. Is it Shankachuda? Shankachuda came and then came to Vrindavan. There was a Rasa dance. I think Balaram was performing Rasa dance. Huh? Who? Raivata. Okay. And so then he saw, you know, okay, there's this guy, he looks drunk. And there's all these girls. So, there's, you know, he's drunk, so how many girls does he require? So, you know, then he collected a few and thought, okay, you know, like that. So that's the whole thing, is they don't see things connected to the Lord. The idea is that it's separate, so it can be mine.
Yes.
I can control it.
Yes.
So that's why we say we become envious of Krishna. Because the idea is that it can be used separate from Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's a conditioned mentality, this idea. Because in the spiritual world, it's all seen and connected to Krishna. So since Krishna is all that's important to them, everything that they deal with, they only see it, how can this please Krishna? That's then their idea. So it doesn't come up in the constitutional position. Okay, Sutra 2245. Viprati se dach cha. Viprati se dat. On account of contradiction with all authorities, cha, and. Shaktivad cannot be accepted because it contradicts Scripture. Right? Because Scripture, we've given Scripture saying how the Lord has form and senses. And they're saying, no, He doesn't. So then it can't be accepted because it contradicts Scripture. They'll want to argue on the logic of what their statements, but that doesn't matter. It's Scripture says it's based on Scripture. You can't know what's beyond without Scripture. Therefore, if it's not supported by Scripture, then it doesn't have any meaning. You know what I'm saying? Because people will just try on their own qualifications to argue, but that doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, but it is very is practice.
Very
practice. Practice means many people do.
Yes, yes. No, it's very. It's a very. Yeah, it's a very serious sadhana by most conditioned souls. You know, they're very, you know, how you say, very committed. You know, focused.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who are more focused, of course, are more successful. Mm-hmm. Right. So. Yeah, they have taste. They have attachment, right? They manifest all kinds of mundane ecstatic symptoms. Sutra 2245. No, we just said that. Sutra Prakashika. The Sutrakar suggests all to pay no heed to the Shaktas' doctrine as they oppose the Scriptures. Footnote 73. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur refutes the Shakta doctrine as follows. Kechid varanti maya ya sa kartri jagatam kila chirachit savini shukshma shakti rupa sanatani. Some say maya, illusion, is a subtle eternal potency, the mother of spirit and matter, and the creator of the worlds, right? So, you know, it's a good chance that means they have to have a good relationship with their mother, right? So that's why you see, generally, it's Bengalis are into this philosophy. Because right? If they didn't have a good relationship with their mother, why would they want her to have so much control? Right? So you see, it's all about the mother, and so she's just, you know, the mother of everything.
Right? It's not good.
It's good, but then you have to. There's also fathers. You know, that's the.
And the second.
Yeah. Like that. Some say the beginningless potency named Maya created all the worlds. This Maya exists in a subtle form. She gave birth to the two principles, spirit and matter. Right. So the soul and the material energy.
They have this philosophy coming from their own scriptures, that Devi Bhagavan Mahatma and those others that we are quoting. It is from that is quoting from this.
It's from the modes of nature, and they may document it in their own works. But the point is that only because of the modes of nature, then this kind of stuff makes sense. Otherwise, then you would have a tendency not to get involved. Right? But it makes sense to you, therefore you become inspired. And then if somebody documents it and does some research work, so if they put it together, and if somebody is a bit more logical than us and comes up with some explanation, we're happy to accept that, you know, so then, you know, they're all happy, right? They have their material philosophy, and this guy has the material philosophy and some prestige, so, you know, it works out.
The devotees now is a lot coming from this also to worship the demigods, the Shaktis. Can we say that's a serious deviation?
It depends upon how they're seeing it. Means are they seeing all these energies and that in connection with Krishna?
They want to use these energies to get something for themselves.
Then it's if it's on the mundane platform, then it's material. It's a deviation. Means because for us, we know all these energies are Krishna's. But then the point is in that form that they are dealing with Krishna. Why not worship in that way? You know what I'm saying? Like, why worship Durga when you can worship Yoga Maya? Because that's her form when she is. You know, we see coordinating the devotional activities. As Maya, she's a devotee, but she's coordinating the mundane activities. So the point is, it's the same person. You know? So why would you deal with them as if they're somebody separate?
Because we know that Srila Prabhupada was looking not so only on the sensual weaknesses. On the sensual weaknesses. And devotees would fall down because of some sensual stuff. But he was much more severe when it was a philosophical deviation.
Yes, yes.
But they were talking more about Mayavad as such then. But now it's more popular.
No, it's just anything where there's a defect in the philosophy, that's worse, because then you'll base your life on that. Sense gratification is kind of obvious amongst everybody that it's not the greatest. Even sense gratifiers know that there's limits. You know, it's just like, what do you call it? The honor amongst thieves. So they know stealing is bad, but, you know, so if you steal and amongst yourselves, then you're sharing, then that's all right. But so the principle of stealing is not that great. But as long as they, you know, respect each other, then that makes it okay. You know? So materialists know materialism isn't that great. It's what they want in this, and ultimately they kind of have to agree, yeah, there must be something more. So that's the difficulty. If you have a philosophy trying to hold this, then, you know, then the difficulty is then you'll work in that way. And the point is you don't have to create one. It's already there, right? It's called Hindus, right? And you have the widest range there from whatever kind of material absorption you want, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. So you can get any combination of them. So it's all there. It means you have to understand, as we're coming across this just recently, they've been working at it for thousands of years, so they know what to do, right? Like that. So the difficulty comes is that if you take these up, then that's where you'll end up. You know what I'm saying? Because the problem is that. I think that'll come up later. Okay. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada says that, you know, especially about the Shaktas, those who worship Shakti are generally lusty, because if you want to see a woman without her husband.
Okay, yeah, because they also take it to that extreme. That's another reason why that they don't put any emphasis on the husband. Because I think I don't know if it's all schools or on higher levels, and they come up and they become the husband of Shakti. Yeah, so it starts off strange and it gets even more strange. Right? Yeah. Yeah, no, I forgot about that part of it. Generally, you always hear them going, Ma, you know, that kind of stuff.
Maybe Muslims are derivatives.
Well, you see is that they have there's a tamasic element there that you can see.
Because they're also speaking about the mother, but in a different context.
Yeah. So then, yeah, you get these it's the modes of nature, just the different flavors of how you put it together. That's all. It's always going to be. That's why he said chewing the chewed. Just because you put it in the, you know, you also have, is that one? Old wine in new bottle, right? And so then now suddenly it's fabulous. Right? He's not here, but I've heard in Italy, then I'm not sure which port it is. Maybe it's Napoli or one of those where tankers come in with some oil from Turkey. What the oil is, I have no idea. Then it comes into the port there. They unload it from the boat, goes to the Italian factories. They do something to it, you know, which is something that they've known how to do for thousands of years. Then put it in cans, and it's now sold as olive oil. It's not olive oil. And then it goes around the world, yes?
Maharaj, that is the lowest residue product in oil which comes out is what we put on the road.
Right.
Then the next level of product is that.
Is that, okay.
In India also.
And then you put that on your salad, right? Because it's healthy.
In India also, all the sunflower oil, nobody grows sunflowers. So where is so much sunflower oil coming from? Billions of things. It's from there.
Okay. From
Turkey?
No, it's the same. It's a process, but so I guess Turkey is good at making it. And what is it made from? Or we don't want to know.
Right? It is the technical name, methoxypropylene something. Is that the lowest residue when the oil is taken out at different levels, different...
No, but oils of what?
Petrol.
Oh, petrol. So it's petrol.
Yeah. Petrol comes at one level, then gasoline. And the lowest one residue which comes out is which you put on the road.
Oh, the tar.
Tar. And then just above the tar, there is one waste product which is sold in cans. Like one of my friends, he works in this...
In this business. Names will not be revealed.
You can make a good deal.
Oh, and so they have ways to flavor it so it tastes like whatever you want. Oh, okay.
When you come, they can make anything. They make mustard oil, they make sunflower oil, any oil.
Whatever you want. Okay. Can they make agaru? Huh?
If it has much business, then they'll make
it. It's all about, yeah, quantity. What do you do with all that much? It has to be this. Okay. Okay. Fun, right? Yeah, so it said something that, because the Romans, they had a ministry that it was just the seed to the purity of olive oil. Because otherwise people in those days, they had a system how they could take any other oil and by some way make it taste like olive oil. But, how did we get into that? It was something to do with you just take some philosophy, put it in some new packaging, and now somehow it's fabulous. Right? You know, you have these guys with, you know, big matted locks and big beards and just wearing, you know, some little gumshoe or something like that and, you know, doing awesome, you know, stuff on, you know, floor like this and not very attractive, right? But now you repackage it so everyone's got this fancy mat and nice colored mat and they all got their leotards and, you know, you'd have the nice music and the nice this and that. And now you call it yoga, you know, in the West. And now it's fabulous, right? But the Indian stuff, like, well, forget that. Okay. So that's all.
Yeah. Hmm. So Gautama Maharaj was saying that the Shakti influence is very strong in Christianity because they also worship the mother and they use wine in the worship.
So, yeah, yeah. No, that's so. That's fine. Yeah. Especially, I think, the East. The Western Church, a little less. They respect, but it's not as strong. I think the Eastern Church is I think she's considered like equal or something or similar like that. Well, in the Western Church, then they're a little less.
You have special songs for her.
Oh, okay, special song. Okay. When the dry philosophy of Buddhism became prominent, this philosophy of Maya persevered. although it mutated into newer and newer forms. Right? So the Shakti aspect then is pervading the Buddhism, right? And so since the Buddhism is quite popular, we see the Shakti aspect will be there along with it. Right? Then Buddhism gradually became influenced by the Tantra Shastras. At that time, the Mayavad philosophy was created. It was then that the name Buddhism became attached to the Tantric philosophy. Otherwise, before it wasn't. It means when you think of Tibetan Buddhism, and they think of the Tantra aspect. It's always considered has that. And then how that spread into the Orient, they also have that Tantric aspect, you know, even over to Japan. So,
when we say Tantric aspect, we say it means the rituals?
Tantra means that it's worship connected with the Shakti. And it's generally based on sense gratification. Or something with the senses. They all... I mean, so you have your generic kind of thing, and then when you start to get into the more esoteric levels, it starts getting more and more strange.
We also have tantras.
Tantra just means ritual. Right? That's the general word. But then here it becomes... It's just like... I don't know if it is now, but at least to go back in time, you wanted to buy, you know, detergent powder for clothes. You called it Surf. It didn't matter what company it was.
Yes.
It's Ariel. Yeah. You have to go and ask for that, even though it may be Surf that you're buying. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so like that, it's just, the name takes on a generic quality, right? With stuff like that, so... Here's that the Tantra, they just put it, that it takes on that it's anything to do with these kind of rituals. But it's actually just means rituals. But then they attribute it to this one kind of aspect. Does that make sense? So when we say it's mixed with Tantra, then we mean the Shakti. Right, no aspect. But because otherwise Tantra, everything is Vishnu Tantra, there's, you know, the other Devas, is, you know, all... Everybody has Tantra because you have to have a ritual. You have the mantra, you have the Tantra. But for them, because of the technicality of it, then it generally tends to seem to take on its own life. Like that. So, plus, it's very popular. Right? So you have Tantra connected with the senses instead of Tantra connected with controlling your senses, which is going to be popular. Right? The Tantra is to worship Vishnu, you have to control your senses. You know, the Devatas a little bit, with Devi not so much.
Well, it seems that there is the Vaishnava philosophy and the Buddhist philosophy, and after the new philosophy are between.
On one side, it means anything that goes like that kind of direction. It means, yeah, the Vaishnava philosophy is the natural philosophy, and then from there you can go out, so you get all kinds of...
And the extreme is Buddhist.
Yeah, you would say Buddhism is there, but the impersonalism is also there. Because Prabhupada says one side is Sahajiya, one side is the impersonalism. But it's not that you can't mix these up.
Yes.
You know, like that.
Yes.
Because if you go around far enough, then you they meet.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Discussion.
Yeah, yeah. Where... Okay. It was at that time that Buddhism became attached to the Tantric philosophy. He puts Buddhism in brackets because that's technically not Buddhism anymore. Among the people who had not accepted Buddhism, the Mayavad philosophy, a philosophy that was actually Buddhism in disguise, was preached. When that philosophy based on the Vedas was preached, the activities of the Mayavadi Vedanta philosophers began. In the mountainous part of India, this philosophy was preached in a different form, in a form following the Tantras, preached by the Tantra Acharyas who prescribed the philosophy of Maya Shakti. Right, so that you'll see up north, right? You know, Nepal, Assam, that whole side, because, you know, it means your biggest, I think, temple of Kamakshi, I think, is up north in Assam. And I think that's where the influence of Tantra came into Buddhism.
Okay. And they usually say that these parts of India, they have the Shakti Pita because Sati, you know, for different parts of the body, they fell out over there and therefore they have come out to be worshippers of Shakti.
Yeah, but there's also in Calcutta, I think there's 1,000 of them. But it's just that they've taken it up with great enthusiasm. So somehow in the mountainous regions, then they seem to be more enthusiastic. Many people say the Tantra philosophy comes from Pseudo-Kapila's philosophy. I do not agree with that view. Although Pseudo-Kapila agreed that material nature, Prakriti, is the creator of the world, he also affirmed that the spiritual truth is beginningless. He said of the Purusha, Pushkara Palasha Van Nir Le Paha, as a lotus petal is untouched by water, so the Supreme Spirit is untouched by the material world. Because right? They don't accept that, it's beyond. She's the cause of all this. In my view, it is the Shaiva philosophy that has come from Pseudo-Kapila's Shankya. However, because in the Shaiva philosophy, material nature, Prakriti, is especially honored, undiscriminating persons often mistakenly think the Shaiva and Tantric philosophies are the same. Right, the Shaiva philosophies and the Shakti philosophies are the same, but they're not. You know, as he's pointing out here.
And what's the main difference?
It seems to be this point of on the position on the supreme. Is the supreme beyond, or is the supreme, you know, under the Shakti? Like that. You know, so it may seem like one point, but it's a major point. Although in the Tantric philosophy, the Purusha, the Supreme Spirit, and Prakriti, material nature, are often compared to the two halves of a chickpea, in the end, the Tantric thinkers say Prakriti is the mother who has created spirit itself. Right? They say the two are there, but at the same time, she's created it. Right? So it just gives her that supreme position, but at the same time, it leaves it open for the chickpea philosophy of enjoyment. Yes.
They have this photo of Lord Shiva half and Parvati on the upside.
Yes, yes.
And the one who is supreme above that is called Lalita.
Oh, okay.
So, Lalita Sharada, Lalita Sahasranam, they have big philosophy.
So that's amongst the tantras. Tantrics. So Lalita is the
Lalita
top.
Is considered as
The top of the, it means is that within the Dasa Mahavidya, or that's a whole different kind of discussion.
She is considered like the origin, whom there is nothing more description is there, only glorification, because she is the origin of everything.
Oh, okay.
And they also have a concept that once they get liberated, they become the husband of Shakti.
The Tantric thinkers also imagine a kind of nirvana where the individual soul ceases to exist. Belief in God is not seen in the philosophy that worships the material potency. The worshippers of the Lord's spiritual potency offer prayers to the all-knowing Supreme God, imitating and mocking those prayers.
Full stop.
Sorry?
Full stop. Imitating before imitating. Next sentence.
Oh, okay, yeah, I was going to say some of that didn't work as a sentence. The worshippers of the Lord's spiritual potency offer prayers to the all-knowing Supreme God. Imitating and mocking those prayers, the worshipper of matter sometimes also offer prayers to the material potency. The staunch atheist von Holbach offered these prayers to the material nature. O nature, O goddess of all elements, O piety and truth, who are nature's two children, please always be our protectors. May the human race sing your glories. O goddess of nature, please set us on the path of your happiness. Oh, this is still going on. Drive illusions far from our minds. Cast wickedness from our hearts. Keep us from falling as we walk the path of progress. Make for us a kingdom of true knowledge. Grant goodness to us. Place peace in our hearts. The nature philosopher von Holbach also says that there is no soul, no God, and no afterlife. He says everyone should seek his own happiness. He says material nature is the supreme controller. Yeah, so you get all these. Because it has to be understood is that that by performing the activities within the fold of the Vedic culture, then from there the results you get. And from that, then that will take you to different parts of, you know, the universe. Right? So if you're pious, that takes you to the heavenly planets. Then you'll come back, you know, and be you know, in wealthy, aristocratic, or, you know, well-placed families, religious families, these kind of things. And so that will, yeah. And then from there, then that might be within the Vedic fold. It may not be. You know, that's the whole point. And so that conditioning that's there, you spend your whole life, let's say, as a tantric, then if the next life you are born in the West, you'll still have that same philosophy, that self concept. But it won't be as clear. You know, so now piety and truth, right, instead of matter and spirit.
Well, you have these families nowadays who are Christians who say that God is actually shouldn't be called a man, he's a woman. They
are
against this pronoun, he.
Okay.
So it seems.
Yeah, just their, you know, shoptas, that's all. Yeah.
There are more than 1,000 songs in India like this.
1,000 songs?
Janam Jehi, Danam, Danam Jehi, Janam Dehi, Putram Dehi. Goes on.
Everything else.
Like, we have the fourth verse of.
Pass our exam, Dehi.
Fourth verse of
Sixth
Astakam, Nadanam,
Najanam,
Nasundra. Exactly opposite
song. Oh, okay. Yes. Maharaj, so just as we have like the worship of impersonal Brahman and the personal Brahman, similarly in Vyoga we find that in India we have they who worship Shakti as a personal form, and here this man is worshipping the impersonal nature. You know? So again, even that, they have the aspect of impersonal Shakti and personal Shakti. Like that.
It appears. The point is they don't, they're confused. That's the main thing. They're confused. So it's just, even if there's a concept of impersonal, then it'll come from Shakti. Well, the Shaivites, then they'll have the person, then there's an impersonal beyond that. They'll say Shiva's that impersonal beyond. So they kind of leave Vishnu out of it.
So they say that there is no God, or they say that God is a woman. So what's the statement?
Material nature is God. You know, I mean, as such. It's whether there's an element of concept of God is separate, but as far as they're concerned, then she's the one. I mean, if your child can be God, then why would she wouldn't be? Yeah. So that's it. They just take it as she's supreme. You know, so then you always have this fight between, is it Kali supreme or Krishna supreme? You know, that's why when we have Ras Purnima, that's when they have their biggest Kali puja. It's in opposition to that. You know, like that. So there's always this kind of, you know.
Yeah. Okay. I think Maharaj, it started by the Paramahamsa
Ramakrishna. Could be.
Chicken.
Actually, Prabhupada, I think it says in the Chaitan Charitamrita, this is when the Vaishnavism is spreading so far and wide, the caste Brahmins, they wanted somebody to like not stand against Lord Chaitanya, so they put Ramakrishna as a
as the front of their spear. Okay.
So he's made popular by the caste Brahmins.
Yeah, otherwise no one really knows him.
I think when he was alive, he himself was not so famous after he died.
Yeah, because then, especially after he dies, then you know he won't do anything weird. So now you can really push. You know.
You could say he was a fool.
Yes, he was.
His name is Gadadhar Chatterjee.
Gadadhar Chatterjee. Okay. Okay. The worshippers of the Lord's spiritual potency. Okay, we did that. We did that. We finished. Okay. In the Maha Nirvana Tantra, Lord Shiva offers these prayers to the original material potency, Goddess Kali. Oh. Srishter Adau Tvam Ekasit. In the beginning of material creation, you alone exist in the form of complete darkness. Then, when the Supreme Brahman desired to create, you gave birth to the entire material world. This tantra teaches the idea of the Shankya philosophy, for it describes the Purusha aloof from matter, and Prakriti active in material matter's world. Right? So that's the thing, is that he can't accommodate, he can be aloof, and at the same time he's the cause. In that tantra, Lord Shiva also tells Goddess Kali, you manifest the form of darkness, and then, when the material worlds are dissolved, you are again formless. You are beyond the power of the mind to know or words to describe. When the world is unmanifest, you alone remain. In this world, you are the living entities. You are knowledge personified. You are the Supreme Goddess. Here it is said that the individual living entities are not different from the potency of material nature. This contradicts the view of Shankya, right? So then you can't say it matches, because their concept of Supreme doesn't match, the concept of Jiva doesn't match. Yes?
Maharaj, regarding the mentality of them, like the Sankhyavadis, their mentality is like there is no happiness in the material world, that's why we merge.
Right.
But the Tantrics, their mentality is there is no happiness in the material world, that's why we perform this process of Tantra. We merge where there is like eternal happiness.
Oh, so that you means because we're not means there's no material happiness, but if we worship Shakti, then we can get material happiness.
Unlimited. Osho.
Osho.
Yes.
Is that where the guy's name comes from?
Yes.
Osho.
That didn't go so well.
And does everybody get a hat?
I don't know.
They do the puja and you get your hat.
Osho's philosophy is like...
Yeah, because I mean if you go to the Western Wall, you get a hat. So
Osho's philosophy is that bona fide country kind of stuff. You worship the nature and then like... What they say, the famous thing is when you become liberated and you have sex with the universe. That's the mentality.
Yeah, you don't want to know.
Very curious.
Huh?
Very curious.
So that's how they contradict the Sankhya philosophy. Because they want to still enjoy.
They want to still stay in the material world. And so the Shaivats are also about going beyond. That's why he says it's closer to Shankhya there.
And so this philosophy is not even considered as a... Nobody else considers them as something substantial because they still want to enjoy and still
Okay, all the other schools don't. Yeah, so that's why it's only really popular on this side of India. Okay. Okay, then quote, as long as good and bad karma are not destroyed, there is no liberation for the conditioned souls, even after 100 kalpas. So is this Shankya now? Even if he performs pious deeds again and again, and even if he performs 100 harsh penances, if he has no transcendental knowledge, the living entity will not attain liberation. Oh, this must be quoting from still the...
Tantra Lord Shiva tells to Goddess Kali.
Okay, that's the Maha... Not Maha Nirvana Tantra. They who are wise and pure-hearted and who seek after the truth and perform pious deeds without exception of expectation of reward attain transcendental knowledge. One does not attain liberation by chanting mantras or performing yajnas, or by fasting 100 times. Only one who knows, I am Brahman, attains liberation. If the people could attain liberation by imagining themselves so, then they could also become kings simply by dreaming of kingdoms. Knowledge, the object of knowledge, and the knower are all manifested from illusion, maya. When these three are carefully investigated and properly understood, only the spirit soul remains. Knowledge is the spirit soul, The object of knowledge is also the spirit soul. The knower is also the spirit soul. One who knows this knows the truth of the spirit soul. Okay. The truth is that the different tantras expound very different philosophies, right? So you can see is that this is very different from the, because this is Shaiva, you know, how you say tantra, very different from the Shakti tantra, like you say, because there it's all about jnana. It's more in line with jnana, about getting out, while then Shakti is more of a karma, right? But just at the, how you say, that one just above tar oil. Yeah. Huh?
Next time I call him, I'll get the exact name.
Yeah. Yeah. And but the thing is it's coming from petrol. It won't kill you.
That's why most of the Indians die 20 years younger than Westerners, because all the oil they use is this. They're all getting heart attacks because of mainly of that
oil.
Yeah, mostly because whatever we take in India, those kind of things. That's why at 60, nobody stays beyond 60.
Oh, okay.
Groundnuts kg is more than groundnut oil.
Groundnut?
Groundnuts.
Kg.
A
kilo of
groundnuts cost more than
the oil.
Than a kilo of oil.
Yeah.
Okay, but it should take so many groundnuts to... Yeah. Oh. Okay. So if they eat ghee, then they last longer. I'm saying the ones that eat...
Which ghee we are talking about?
Oh, okay. It's also made from that. Okay.
Which ghee are we talking about?
It's like the Upanishads. Which ghee are we talking about?
What about butter? The
original villagers who stay in... village and they don't eat anything else. I've seen many of them last 90 years, 100 years old.
Yeah.
Right. Those who stay in cities, 60 beyond nobody.
They don't make it any.
And now the doctors, everyone say don't eat oil. Because the main cause of heart attack is oil.
Oh, okay.
It's not supposed to be like that. We used to eat groundnut oil, other oils before.
Okay.
What about Al Prasadam here in my home? Don't go there.
No, here it's a Bhaktivinoda course discussed here. The truth is that different tantras expound very different philosophies. It cannot be said that every tantra teaches the worship of the material energy, Shaktivad. In some tantras, that philosophy is accepted, and in other tantras, it is not. It is vehemently opposed. In some tantras, it is said that the Supreme Brahman is the creator. In others, that material nature, Prakriti, is the creator. In others, that the individual soul, Jiva, is the creator. In some tantras, it is said that the individual souls are illusory, Mithya. And in others, it says that the individual souls are real, Satya. In some tantras, it is said that the letter M in the sacred syllable Om is the creator. In other tantras, that Supreme Person, Purusha, and material nature, Prakriti, are both the creators. And in other tantras, that material nature is the sole creator of all. Right? So just so many different ways that they go about. They have so many different ideas. In conclusion, it may be said that so many different philosophies are taught in the tantras that no one of them can be singled out as the only philosophy of the tantras. In the previously quoted verse, beginning with the words, Shishter Adao, it is said that before the material world was created, material nature alone existed, and that by the Supreme Brahman's desire, the material nature created the material world. What is the material nature? Who is the Supreme Brahman? When he attains transcendental knowledge, will the individual spirit soul become the Supreme Brahman? In the verse beginning with the words, Tvam eva jivo loke smin, it is said that the individual souls are identical with the material nature. Those words make no sense. In the tantras are also described lata sadhana, ritual illicit sex. Pancha makara sadhana, ritual activities of sex and consumption of flesh, fish, and wine. And sura sadhana, ritual wine drinking. Okay, like you said, the Christians and others, the Abrahamic religions seem to like the sura sadhana. Because this means that it says the pancha sadhana, but there's also five levels of that. So depending on what it is, so then the Tantra, where it's about sense gratification, will be on this lower level. Because the top is offering flowers to the Lord and all these other things. So it's all that the pure sattvic motive goodness aspect. But then they take the same thing and it goes down into ignorance and it takes on these forms.
The right hand and the left hand.
What kind of religious activities are these? I have no idea how these can be considered religious activities. These ideas are like the atheistic karma mimamsa, or the goddess of material nature, imagined by, how do you say, Comte? You say the E?
Comte.
Okay, yeah. Because you don't, if he's German, I guess you say the E, and if he's French, you don't, right? Yeah, okay. This kind of tantric worship was created in someone's imagination. I will not say anything more about it. Vivek 114. Enough been said. Stop there. Yeah, so it just goes on and on and on. So since it's not supportive of the scriptures and that, well, there's no need to discuss it. Just because someone wants to doesn't mean that it's a valuable discussion. Yes.
Are all the upper sampradayas, they also have this influence, some of the upper sampradayas.
Yes, generally. There's always something. Because otherwise, what's the point unless they enjoy themselves? Because the point, if you don't want to surrender to Krishna, means you want to stay in the material world. It's just a matter of what form you want to use. And what to, but yeah, they'll all have something. You know, some, you know, prestige, even they follow the rules, let's say like the smartest. The caste Goswamis, but it's still that social prestige, that they're born Brahmins, so they're superior. You know, like that. So you just have the wide range.
So in a sense, the Vedas, the highlight is always about the aspect of Purusha, who is the supreme controller, because...
The Vedas.
In the Vedic literature, because that removes the living entity thinking I'm the controller anymore.
Yes. Unless they want to show that the jiva is that, because the scriptures will also talk about jiva. But as we saw before, is that when you're dealing with the chakravyuha, then sometimes then, you know, one is jiva, one's the mind, one is the intelligence, like that. So then Shankarshan will be jiva, like that. But that's because he's the lord of all living entities. Like that. Is that, yeah. Sri Govinda Bhasya. Shaktivada is insignificant because it contradicts all Shruti and Smriti. Shrutaya Smritayas Chaiva Yuktayas Cheshvaram Param Varanti Tad Virudham Yo Vadet Tasman Na Cha Dhamma. Shruti, Smriti and logic say that the Lord is supreme. There is no one lower than he who says something contrary to this. Right? Because that's the point, that's what we were saying before, is that the, philosophically, that's the lowest. Someone gets distracted by sense gratification, that's bad. But we get distracted by bogus philosophy, that's the lowest. Right? Because that will just take you on and on and on. The one, you'll get the results of that particular engagement of the senses. But the other one, then it's like you get the results of all things. You know, it's just like when you eat a particular flesh, then you're called by as the eater of that flesh, right? But if you eat fish, you get the benefit of eating all flesh. Right? So the lowest philosophy and eating fish, it all goes together, right? Like the tantric and all that stuff.
How was that? You want to explain this.
Because fish eat anything. Yeah, they're also not recommended as something to eat, you know, like that. But the point is you're not supposed to eat all these things. The word cha indicates cause, because Shakti cannot create the world. The path of Vedanta, devoid of the thorny faults adopted by Shankya and other philosophies, should be followed by those desiring the highest good. Footnote 74. Srila Prabhupada comments on Sutras 42 to 45. as follows. Sri Paichankaracharya has misleadingly explained the quadruple form, Chaturvyuha, in his interpretation of the 42nd aphorism of chapter 2 of the second kanda of the Vedanta Sutra. Utpatyasambhava. In verses 41 through 47 of this chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami answers Sri Paichankaracharya's misleading objection to the personal feature of the Absolute. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is not like a material object that can be known by experimental knowledge or sense perception. In the Narada Pancharatra, this fact has been explained by Narayan himself to Lord Shiva. But Shankaracharya, the incarnation of Shiva, under the order of Narayan, his master, had to mislead the monists, who favor ultimate extinction. In the conditioned stage of existence, all living entities have four basic defects, of which one is the cheating propensity. Shankaracharya has carried this cheating propensity to the extreme to mislead the monists. Actually, the explanation of the quadruple forms of the Vedic literature cannot be understood by the speculation of a conditioned soul. The quadruple forms should therefore be accepted just as they are described. The authority of the Vedas is such that even if one does not understand something by his limited perception, he should accept the Vedic injunction and not create interpretations to suit his imperfect understanding. Right? So, if you don't understand something from the Vedas, don't make something up. You just continue in your practice of Krishna consciousness as the heart gets purified. Then by Krishna's grace, then one will be able to understand. Right? Because it's through devotion that you know Krishna. Since Krishna is the Veda, then we can only know the Veda through Krishna. Otherwise, you see others, they don't understand it. Then they... And so then they make up their own philosophy. And it just makes trouble. So, you know, that's what we were discussing yesterday. Even within devotional service, something we don't understand. That doesn't mean we should make up our own philosophy. Like that. Does that make sense? Because you see, as people make up their philosophies because of the material benefits they'll get. Either in Dharma, Artha, Kama, or Moksha. Right? So we should avoid that. You have attachments and you just engage those things. You don't make a philosophy to try to make it look like you're not. Okay? In the Sharika Bhashya, however, Shankaracharya has increased the misunderstanding of the monists. The quadruple forms have a spiritual existence that can be realized in Vasudeva Sattva, Shuddha Sattva, or unqualified goodness. Right? Because qualified means it has passion and ignorance in it, so unqualified means it's beyond. Mm-hmm. Which accompanies complete absorption in the understanding of Vasudeva. The quadruple forms, who are full in the six opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are the enjoyers of the internal potency. Thinking the Absolute Personality of Godhead to be poverty-stricken or to have no potency, or in other words, to be impotent, is simply rascaldom. This rascaldom is the profession of the conditioned soul, and it increases his bewilderment. Right? So the conditioned living entities come up with this. You know, they're professional at this. Right? But it just makes them more bewildered than them. One who cannot understand the distinctions between the spiritual world and the material world has no qualification to examine or know the situation of the transcendental quadruple forms. In his commentary on Vedanta Sutra 2.2.42-45, His Holiness Sripad Shankaracharya has made a futile attempt to nullify the existence of these quadruple forms in the spiritual world. Shankaracharya says, Sutra 42, the devotees think the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudeva, Sri Krishna, to be one, be free from material qualities, and to have a transcendental body full of bliss and eternal existence. He is the ultimate goal of the devotees, who believe that the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself into four other eternal transcendental forms, Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. From Vasudeva, who is the primary expansion, comes Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha, in that order. Another name of Vasudeva is Paramatma. Another name of Sankarshan is Jiva, the living entity. Another name of Prajumna is mind. Another name of Aniruddha is Ahankara, false ego. Among these expansions, Vasudeva is considered the origin of the material nature. Therefore, Shankaracharya says that Sankarshan, Prajumna, Aniruddha must be creations of that original cause. Right, so he's trying to just take them, and so because they have these positions that they control these aspects, therefore then they're taken, and he just shifts it. You can see it's just by chala. They're given that, then he shifts the definition, and then says that, you know, this is jiva, this is mind, this is intelligent. So that means they're not on the transcendental platform. So therefore then we're, you know, it goes back to the original. Right, because then we say is everything's coming from Vasudeva. Right? And so that means so Vasudeva is within these four, so therefore then we have to make that adjustment. So that just leaves Brahman. So he it's just that they shift this, that's why I say they just bewilder. They don't understand the transcendental position, so then why are they dealing with it? Great souls assert that Narayan, who is known as the Paramatma or Supersoul, is beyond material nature, and this is in accordance with the statements of the Vedic literature. Mayavadis also agree that Narayana can expand himself in various forms. Shankara says that he does not attempt to argue that position of the devotee's understanding, but he must protest the idea that Sankarshan is produced from Vasudeva, Prajumna is produced from Sankarshan, Aniruddha is produced from Prajumna. For Sankarshan is understood to represent the living entities created from the body of Vasudeva, the living entities would have to be non-eternal. The living entities are supposed to be free from material contamination by engaging in prolonged temple worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, reading Vedic literature, performing yoga, and pious activities to attain the Supreme Lord. But if the living entities had been created from material nature at a certain point, they would be non-eternal and would have no chance to be liberated and associated with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When a cause is nullified, the result is nullified. Right? So that way they just get rid of everything. You know, it sounds, because they're using Vedanta, that's why it sounds closer. The other ones are more obvious, especially the farther away they get, the more obvious that they have nothing to do with real philosophy. So he's working in here, but you see he has to always shift the meaning. That's why they use indirect, they use speculation, because the indirect meaning, by shifting it, the direct meaning, it makes sense, why not use that? But they're not, they're using the indirect. So, in the second chapter of the Vedanta Sutra's second kanda, Acharya Veda Vyas has also refuted the concept of the living beings who were ever born. Natma shuter nityat vach cha tabhyaha. Because there is no creation for the living entities, they must be eternal. Right? Because he's taking that if they expand, there's a creation, there's a beginning, so therefore it's not eternal, and everything like that. So that's what they're using. Not that manifestation just means now you see them.
Yes. Basically, Shankaracharya is using the same original position of the living entity, getting bewildered about his position, and just again projecting the same weakness is used to just change the philosophy.
That they think they're the controller and enjoyer. Okay. Yeah, I mean, then it'll be popular. Yes. Yeah. You can control and enjoy, who's not going to like it? Oh, it just keeps going.
It's a 12-page commentary.
This is a 12-page?
12.5-page.
Okay, from Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Adi Lila 541. Okay, cool. Okay. Yeah, no, we won't get through that. Okay, we'll stop here. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.